How did government work under his rule? Well, the king was, of course, at the apex of Habsburg government. The king made all the decisions, but under him were a series of councils known as consejos that were divided on a sort of territorial or thematic theme. There was a council dedicated to affairs of each different constituent parts of Philip's empire, and there were thematic councils, for example, a council which had to do with king's treasury, a council of war, and of course a council of state. These councils didn't make the final decision. They would receive petitions, and they would receive letters from the king asking them for advice, for policy advice. They would gather together, debate the issue, and eventually submit a memorandum to the monarch for his consideration, and for him to either accept or reject. Now, who staffed these councils? Well, a mixture of the nobility, men of the church, and men who'd been specifically recruited because of their supposed expertise in a given field. So, to give you an example, one of Philip's secretaries later on, Juan de Ovando, was a member of the Council of the Inquisition as well as the Council of the Indies. He was chosen for these jobs because of his alleged expertise. If the king had a specific issue, he might set up a special gathering or junta of experts who would consider a specific problem and then submit a memorandum for the king. So, for example, in 1581, the king gathered a junta of experts on the Morisco question in Lisbon and asked them to find solutions to propose solutions for the assimilation of the Morisco problem. As I've said, these councils would submit memorandum for the king's consideration, and it was entirely up to him to accept their policy advice or reject it and ask them to reconsider the issue. Philip himself took a very active part in government. We know from the work of historians on his private life that he led a very busy life, very little personal time. He would study all the documents sent to him by councils with the help of a team of secretaries, men who became extremely powerful because of their access to the king. And indeed, he became dependent on them to process the information being sent from the councils to him. It was beyond the capacities of one man to just read everything, although we know that Philip certainly did his best. These secretaries were almost invariably part of a new class of men rising into prominence in early modern Spain, the so-called letrados, university-trained graduates who usually rose in the crown service, or indeed in the church, and eventually were recruited as the king's private secretaries. Men like Antonio Pérez, who later became one of Philip's closest advisors before falling from grace when it was discovered that he'd actually been involved in treasonable activity, i.e. passing information to some of Philip's enemies. Philip's personal rule meant that he didn't have to rely on favourites to rule in his stead, and in a marked contrast to his son Philip III and grandson Philip IV. During their reigns, the kings were quite happy to let a nobleman who had become their personal friends and favourites, for example, during the reign of Philip III, the Duke of Lerma, and during the reign of Philip IV, the Count Duke of Olivares, to effectively rule in their stead, to control government. Philip didn't allow this to happen. Indeed, he followed the advice left to him by his father, Charles V, not to rely too much on his personal friends. Men like the Duke of Alba, although they had considerable influence on the king, never controlled him. Throughout his reign, he remained in personal control of policy making.